stomach till they give some. They don't give nothing, just keep pushing it in their stomach. Y'all too easy on people. Don't just go down through there like that. Push it on. Let's open our Bibles now. We've got a short but important study here this evening in Hebrews chapter 2. If you'll look, please. Hebrews chapter 2 tonight. Let's look here at a verse of Scripture here in the Word of God. I believe it'll be a help to us. As I said, we started on it last Wednesday night, got sidetracked and got off. So let's look at it tonight. Won't take but just a few minutes. It'll be very short. But if you look at it, there's a word here that I want everybody look at, and we're all in danger of it. And it's that word slip. That word slip. We all know that word slip. Slip, slide. If you slip on ice, if you're holding on to something, you slip. And that's exactly the meaning of this word. The Hebrew, Greek meaning of this word is slip. And so you ain't going to beat that in English. So look here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Everybody look at it. There's not a person in here that don't need this. No, you're not too spiritual to get in this Bible study with us. Don't ever think that. I know people that think, well, I'm the more spiritual part of the church, so I don't really need to listen. You're fooling yourself. We all need it. I need it. I listen to preaching every day. Every day. I don't think there's a day goes by that I don't listen to a little bit of preaching. When I'm up in the morning, or you say, well, how do you know the news? I turn the radio on, it's got preaching. Now I turn the TV on and put it on mute. If the world blows up, you'll see it there. They'll have it down there at the bottom of the screen if they're going to go to war or something like that. But you listen to preaching. If all you do is turn your TV on, all you're getting is the world's point of view. So get in the Bible, brother. Get in the Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. A lady in our church told me the other day, she said, I've just been backslid for I don't know how long. I said, you been reading your Bible? She said, nope. Two people told me that recently. And that's the problem right there. You don't just automatically stay right. You have to fight to stay right. I mean, salvation is a gift, but brother, you got to work to stay right with God where you need to be. Verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, what are we holding on to? The things which we have heard. We are not holding on to God. He's not saying, hang on to God, He'll get away from you. He's saying, hang on to the things that we've heard. The Lord ain't going nowhere. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The truth is, we're not holding on to the Lord. He's holding on to us. He said, I've got you in my hand, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. He's holding on to me. You couldn't hold on to the Lord till you got outside tonight. None of us are strong enough or spiritual enough or good enough to hold on to the Lord. He's holding on to us. So it's not talking about holding on to the Lord. It's talking about holding on to things that we've heard. Your salvation is a done deal. It's done. It's fixed. As a matter of fact, the second you get saved, God predestines you to be conformed like Jesus Christ. You are predestinated the second you get saved to be just like Jesus. And did you know what? That's a done deal. But you can sure make a mess out of things between here and there if you're not real careful. A Christian can really mess up their life really fast and really quick. Young people, you can mess up your life in one night or one morning or one day. You can make the wrong choice, get with the wrong person, go to the wrong place, make a mistake in 5 minutes that you'll never get over the rest of your life. You can be forgiven. You can get things fixed. It's just like taking a knife, just like a scar. I got a scar here where we used to put a trampoline underneath the basketball goal all the time up there at East Junior High Gym. And we'll let one guy get on. And I've got my knuckles are scarred from, you know, where we'd hit the rim. Like that. You let one guy stand here, about four stand around here and try to score on him. And he's going boom, 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 swatting like that, you know. That's fun. That is the funnest thing. Yeah. But you hit your head on the rim, knuckles on the rim. And I've got scars where I've done that. And I've got a scar right there where I wrecked a bicycle. I was trying to ride a bicycle built for two by myself. And you ain't supposed to do that. And it was real long. That thing's hard to ride by yourself. And I turned into this boy's basement. And it turned over with me. And I went down like that. And the thing was sticking out the corner of the water heater. And you know how like on a stove or something, metal, and it's just a sharp piece of metal. It just ripped my arm right there. I went home and I was bleeding. Looked like I was bleeding to death and scared my mom. And I got a scar from about right there to about right there. And you know what? That's always going to be there. And that's the way sin will do you. Sin will scar. I mean, it don't hurt. It don't bother me. But that scar is there. That scar is there. And the Bible said you can make a mess really quick. And it said you hold on to what you've been taught, lest at any time you let them slip. You say, what does that mean, Brother Danny? I mean, all of us know people that used to be in church. I mean, they'd sit right here. They'd sit right there. That's right, Brother Danny. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And they're not even here tonight. And they won't be here Sunday. You know what happened? They didn't take heed to hold on to what they've been taught. And they let it slip. And by the way, when a person gets out of church, you don't get out of church overnight. You don't backslide overnight. You're not right with God one day and then out with the full of the devil the next. You slip. Every time I read this verse, it reminds me of somebody holding on to a rope. And you get tired of holding on, and you just slip a little bit. And you slip a little bit. And you slip a little bit. First thing you slip on is coming on Wednesday nights, paying your tithes. First, you mark it down. When a person starts missing Wednesday night, you mark my word. Mark my word. You think it ain't important? Mark my word. I've been doing this a long time. When they start missing Wednesday night, they start missing Sunday night, then they start missing Sunday school, then they start not paying their tithes, they're slipping. Everybody I've ever known that really got right wanted to be in church. And they thought, man, I need all the church I can get. When you get this attitude that it don't really matter if I go or not, you're already messed up and don't know it. And it's a slow process. You don't, these serial killers and these people, you don't become something like that overnight. That's a long process. I heard a Ruckman say a long time ago, when you go down and visit these guys on death row and down in them solitary confinement, son, they some evil people in places like that. There's some of them men in there like monsters. They growl at you. If they could get their hands on any of them, they'd choke you to death just like that. That didn't happen overnight. That didn't happen. And he looked and he said, behind every ruined life, there's a long process of wicked thinking. Behind every ruined life, there's a long process of wicked thinking. You think wicked, you think about wicked things, next thing you know, you sit around and think about something long enough, you're going to do it or head that way. You sure will. I just preached last night in revival down there about the people that you run around with. All you kids and teenagers and young people here tonight. You know what? Whoever you hang around, that's who you're going to be like. Amen? Sure will. That's who you're going to be like. Whoever you run around, that's who you're going to be like. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You hang around people that drink, you're going to be drinking before it's over with. You say, well, I know somebody that comes to this church. They're not here tonight. They told me there's a Christmas party, and they had them at work, and everybody at work went to the Christmas party, and they said they sat down at the table like this. I think it was a Christmas party, something like that. All the big shots, boss man, and they set a martini down right in front of them. And I said, well, what'd you do? And this church member who comes here to church said, I looked at the person beside me and said, I'm not drinking that. And I said, good, I'm proud of you. Thank God. Thank God. You know what a lot of people have done? They said, well, I don't want people to think. I just don't want to be the oddball. You ought to be glad you're the oddball. You're the only one at the table's got any sense. You say, well, I don't want them to think I'm judging. I don't want them to think. You better worry about pleasing the Lord first. You know what our problem is? We try to please people, and you cannot please people and please God. I told you before, I don't recommend you do this, and I was sort of in a rough mood that day. But somebody bought me a gift certificate to the Olive Garden. And y'all know I don't like Olive Garden. I wouldn't give you a dime for the whole place. It stinks. It stinks, man. If you can't smell that, something's wrong with your nose. It's like being around a drunk. The only two people can be around you is people that eat there too. And I remember when Chris and Jeremy was dating, they used to go there like every Friday night, and I'd come home from preaching somewhere, and I opened the back door, I could tell you, when they'd been to the Olive Garden. I walk in and I say, I know where y'all went tonight. That garlic boy's about to kill me. And the food's all right. And I'm not, we have a sweetheart banquet, and I like it, and I eat it. Lord, that smell, and you can taste it the whole night and the next day. Why would you want to smell like that? You know how come I don't stink? Because I don't eat stuff that stinks. What you are what you eat. You ever been around somebody and they just stink? All that junk y'all eat. I don't know, all that stuff. They say it's good for you. I take garlic peels odorless. Garlic peels. And somebody said they don't do no good if they don't stink. Well, I'll do without them, man. But anyway, they gave me a thing to Olive Garden. So I went. It's been several years ago. On Friday night, I didn't have nothing to do. It's been probably 6-7 years ago. So I rode down the Hickory, and I went in, and I sat down, and they set me at a little table, and this girl walked right up and said, Sir, we would like to offer you a free sample of our wines tonight. Would you like a free sample? And I was in a mood. You'd have thought me and Brother Derek had been hanging out together. I looked up at her, and I said, Do I look dumb? She said, No. Oh, no, 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 no. I said, I'm sorry. I thought you offered me wine. The Bible said, if you drink wine, you're dumb. She said, It does. I said, Yeah, you know, it says wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whoever's deceived thereby is not wise. Do you know what is not wise means? Stupid. That's what it means. And I said, I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck, but I don't want any. If it's free, I don't want it. What kind of pusher comes up and offers you free wine? Brother, devil trying to get you to become an alcoholic. How about a free Pepsi? Amen? How about a free piece of chocolate cake you got in there? Isn't it amazing how the devil, you know what a boy told me? Smokey Joe, he's over there, he's out right now. He's staying with me for a few weeks, and Lord, y'all pray for me. Boy's eating me out of house. No. Telling you what, Lord, I thought Jason could eat last night running this kid. He's been my soul. I ain't kidding you, y'all. You would not believe it. We've been to the dollar store I don't know how many times. Bread, milk, ham, drink. Lord have mercy. But anyway, Kathy's cooked for us the last two nights, so that's been a blessing. But he was telling me about, he said when he was living in sin, he's on them drugs and stuff. He said, if you'll live in sin, the devil will take care of you. The devil will give you money and stuff. I've had people tell me, I don't know where I got all that money. I spent $200 a day on drugs. I don't know where I got it. The devil will keep you up. He said, if you'll sin, he said, all this will I give you if you'll bow down and worship me. But the only problem is it's temporary. It's temporary. The devil will give you stuff. There he is right there. Don't tell him what I just said. But he was telling me is it all right if I tell him a little bit of your testimony? I've done been talking about you. You got something you'll say about it? Let's go. Take it outside. No, he can hit, man. He can hit. He popped Jason. You ever seen that youth rally? He popped Jason, boy. A good one. But anyway, he was telling me about when he was messed up that he had two doctors giving him pills and making $25 an hour, and doing, it's like the devil will supply the need if you'll worship him. But then he'll jerk the rug out from under you. And as soon as you get right, you lose everything. Lose your car, lose your house, lose your job, and it's a struggle. There's another member of our church told me that the other day. This lady said, my goodness, when I was living wicked, I had money all the time, and now I've got right with the Lord and everything, and I'm broke all the time. That's wonderful. That's a good sign. But you know what? You'll slip little at a time. Little at a time. And I'm going to have him give his testimony maybe Sunday and tell you what the Lord's done in his life. His dad's a pastor. He's got a degree. He teaches in a Christian school. And he's a He's an administrator and all that. But I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you got to ask him. He grew up in a pastor's home, been to church his whole life, never drank, never cussed, never smoked, nothing like that. But a little time you slip. You slip. You slip. And the first thing you know, you do something. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever done something and you think, I would have never believed I would have done that? I guess we all have. I would have never in a million years believed I would have done what I've done. That's an awful feeling. And you go on the way home and you think, what have I done? I've let the Lord down. I've let my mama down. I've let myself down. You know what? That starts with just a little slip. Slip. Hold on to what you've been taught. That's why you need to hear a preacher. I don't understand people. You give them tapes of preaching. I listened to that when? About 2 years ago. We list the songs over and over and over. It wouldn't hurt to listen to that same sermon over and over and over. There's certain sermons that I listen to ever so often. Some of my favorite sermons. Man, I like to hear them. We listened to David Ring's testimony the other night. Some of us said, man, that was good. How many of y'all know of David Ring? He's the guy that born with cerebral palsy, you know. And Lord in mercy, y'all, listen to stuff like that. Hey, you watch movies. They watch movies over and over and over. I mean, they watch the same reruns, you know, but it's funny, so we watch it. Ain't nothing wrong with the same. Well, I've heard that sermon. You might need to hear that sermon over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And it won't hurt us a bit. You know why? So we won't slip. So it won't slip. How many of you ever tried to hold on to a rope or pull it or something and you have to stop for a second and get your grip back? Get your grip back. That's what you have to do in your Christian life. You have to stop, wipe your hands off, and get a good grip. You need to get a good grip. Brother Derek was talking Sunday morning about how you know right from wrong. And he was absolutely right. He was correct, right on the money. You can't go by your feelings. There's people in the world that do stuff and they feel like it's right and it's wrong. And there's people in the world that do something they feel like it's wrong, but it's right. Your feelings can get all out of whack. You better give the more earnest heed to the things that you've been heard and taught so you won't slip. You won't slip. You better remember that. I'll say a couple things right quick. There's a man over in Robbinsville, North Carolina. You know where Robbinsville? Way over yonder in the mountains. Past Natahala Gorge, almost Murphy. Way, way over. Beautiful, beautiful country, but it's in the absolute middle of nowhere. It ain't close to nothing. And he said they graduated from high school back in the 60s. And he said some of his graduating class got married their high school sweetheart, had a couple of kids, and there wasn't much to do around over in them mountains, and they got jobs in Detroit and Chicago, where they was making a lot of money back then, and make in the car business, where they thought, man, I'm going to make big bucks. I'm going to go up there, and left them mountains and went to Chicago and Detroit, and they said they'd come back 40 years later, and they'd lost their kids, they lost their grandkids, the kids is on drugs, the grandkids is in a mess, and everything. You know why? They left their heritage, they left their church, they left what God had given them for a paycheck. And that's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't raise my kids in New York City or Atlanta in town for nothing in the world. I mean, unless God had me there for a reason, I wouldn't. But you better watch where you raise your kids. You better watch not that we're any better than anybody else. I'm just saying, boy, you drop them down in the middle of that mess, it's going to rub off on them. You better keep them isolated as much as possible. So they did it. They messed up. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. If you ain't, how you like this for preaching? I want to preach on this sometime. If you ain't fishing, you ain't following. If you ain't fishing, you ain't following. What does that mean? Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. If you ain't fishing for men, you're not following Jesus. I don't care how many things you don't do. I don't care what your dress standards are. I don't care if you don't drink beer or cuss. These people at the funeral home don't drink beer and cuss. If you're not actively trying to reach out to somebody, you ain't following Jesus. That's right.
Come after me, and I will make you followers of men. I think I want to get all of our Sunday school teachers together and teach about a 3 or 4 week series on witnessing. Witnessing. Witnessing to your neighbor. Witnessing to your community. Witnessing. Taking tracts. Going to your neighbor's house. Listen, people. Christian life ain't just not doing stuff. That's just part of it. It's doing stuff. It ain't just what we don't do. It's what we do also. We're not guilty just of sins of commission. A lot of people say, well, I don't do this and I don't do that. And buddy, I live in right because I don't go here and I don't go to nightclubs and I don't drink alcohol and I don't do that. Well, that's wonderful. I'm proud of you. But if you ain't doing nothing for God, you're just living half your Christian life. He said, come after me and I will make you fishers of men. If you ain't fishing, you ain't following. I don't care if your dress is down to there and you don't wear no makeup and you never said a cuss word in your life. You ain't following Jesus if you ain't fishing for men. He said, come after me and I will make you follow. What's the first thing you done when you really got right with God? You wanted to get somebody else right with God. The first evidence of the person being right with God, they want to reach out and get somebody else. Their family, their friends, their neighbors, their immediate family, first of all. Lord have mercy. When I first got saved, I got the office burden for my daddy. I couldn't stand it. We prayed for my daddy. I got everybody to pray for my daddy. My sisters got in just like that. Mom got to come back to church. As soon as I got saved, everybody in my family started getting right except my dad. And daddy didn't get saved until I'd been saved about 2 or 3 years. And he finally did. And you know what? My eyes thought about him day and night. I don't understand people that say I'm right with the Lord and got family members that they've never even witnessed to. Something's wrong. Something's bad wrong. Something's bad wrong. You say, well, they won't listen. Well, don't matter. It don't matter. When the boat, that night there was out there in that boat, all his disciples out there in the boat, and it said they fished all night and caught nothing. They fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus come walking on the sea, and he said, all right, boys, he said, put your net over here on the right side. And they did what the Lord told them to and caught 153 fish just like that. What's the moral of that story? You got to do it his way. You got to do it in his place. You got to do it in the right way, because trying to do the work of the Lord without the Lord, it don't get nothing done. Trying to preach without the Lord accomplishes nothing. Trying to do the work of God in the flesh is nothing. They said, we ain't caught nothing, Lord. He said, do what I tell you to and you'll catch some. Put it over here. That's why I wonder about churches where nobody ever gets saved. Well, I wonder about churches where nobody ever gets right. I know there's places in Russia and places like that where it's not. I understand it's hard to get people. I understand there's places up north where it's hard up there where he lives. It's entirely Catholic. About what, 99% Catholic. It's ridiculous. And it's hard to get people to see their need of a Savior. I understand that. But I'm telling you, if nobody ever gets right, something is wrong. The Lord said, cast your net over here and you'll do it. I'm going to tell you something, people. There wasn't nothing wrong with that boat. There wasn't nothing wrong with that boat. I met a lot of them and said, there's something wrong with this boat. There's something wrong with our net. We need a new net. You didn't need no new net. You just needed to do what Jesus said. There wasn't nothing wrong with the disciples. I mean, they wasn't perfect. You know what I mean. Somebody said, well, there's something wrong with this church. I'm going to go to a better church. There ain't nothing wrong with the church. We just got to do what God tells us to. If we're willing to do what God tells us to do, the Lord can do great and mighty things right here at Shining Light Baptist Church. Amen? There ain't nothing wrong with the boat. It's obeying the Lord that brings success and brings the fish. Listen, brother. Somebody said, well, even these little country churches out here, they said, well, God ain't in our church. There ain't nothing wrong with the church. It's just being willing to do what God says. Any little country church out here in Burke County, if everybody got an altar and got right with God, somebody called me today and said the front page of their paper, it's not... There's a church somewhere, I don't even know exactly where it's at, fired the pastor. We're talking about deacons Sunday night, it's sort of funny. They fired the pastor, typical little Southern Baptist split. The deacons fired the pastor, some church did, That's not, you know, deacons don't have right to hire or fire. That's church's job. And they went down there, and the pastor said, "I ain't leaving." And they said, "Yes, you are." And he had a bunch of people for him, and they had a bunch of people for them. And they went down there and put chains on the door and padlocked the church. Oh, yeah, this happens. How many of you ever heard of that happening? It's happened lots of times. It's all over these mountain churches. And they padlocked the church so the other crowd couldn't get in. And they've been having services outside for 2 or 3 weeks, out in the yard. Now, guess what? They ain't going to catch no fish. That crowd needs to get right with God. And the news picks up on stuff like that and put it in the newspaper. Local church fires pastor, padlocks church. And I ain't going to be no part of no junk like that. We don't come to church to fight, folks. We don't come to church to fight each other. We come to church to get right with God, get help, and stand against sin. We fight the devil now if he shows up. But we don't come to fight each other. I heard about a deacon in a church who did that very same thing, very same thing. He didn't like what was going on, and he wasn't going to let them in. "I put money in this church. This is just as much my church as it is yours. I don't agree." And he padlocked the church so the people couldn't get in, and lightning struck a tree and fell on that fellow and killed him, just like that. I mean, God took him out. And that's why I ain't going to get into no junk like that. I ain't going to get into no fighting at church. And I will tell everybody here tonight, we ain't coming to church to fight. I've had 2 or 3 times there where people said, "I'm just going to go over there and knock old so-and-so." I said, "Look, you can go out there at the end of that road and you can beat each other to death if you want to. But if you swing a fist right here on God's house and God's property, I'll call the cops and have both of y'all arrested." I've told several people that. You didn't know that, did you? And I mean that. You don't come here. But we had a mother and a daughter get in a fight. We had 2 women out there in the parking lot one time. The mother and the daughter was up in Marion. And the mother slapped her, pow, right out in the parking lot. And I had one threatened, one of the deacons, one associate pastor, Brother Bruce, was threatened by one of the men. I told them all the same thing, and I'll tell you and your family the same thing. You want to come peaceably, everybody's welcome. If you come here to fight, I'll call the cops and have you arrested. Amen? This is God's house, and we don't come here to fight. That's right, brother. This is the Lord's house. If you want to beat each other's brains out, go down there in the interstate and stand right out in the middle of it and do whatever you want to. But not here. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. As long as I can get to a phone, brother, it ain't going to happen. But anyway, there ain't nothing wrong with the church. It's us doing what the Lord wants us to do. Lord, I've done run out of time here. But the same church, it was the same boat. They just got in God's will. Same boat. They didn't go down there and buy them a new boat and say, "Now we'll catch some fish." They just took what they had and got in God's will. You don't need a new church. We need our church to get in the will of God and watch it bring forth fruit. All right, anybody want to say something right quick? It's done getting dark outside and time's about gone. I hope that you'll give that earnest heed to what you've heard, lest you let them slip. Once in a while, preacher needs to get up, and you need to listen to preaching on the radio, where they just nail it down. "We believe this, we believe that, we believe this, we believe that. We believe in the blood atonement, we believe in the book, the blood, the blessed hope. We believe in the second coming, we believe in heaven and hell, we believe in us, we believe it." And lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the great eternal truths of the Word of God. Lord, our fathers stood on what this book said. Our past presidents and leaders and many of our politicians have stood on what this book says. Lord, our country was founded and built on the principles of this book. Help us not to let them slip. Lord, what a tragedy it would be for us to drop the ball right here this close to the end. This close to the end of the race. Don't let us drop the ball. Help us to give earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. If there's one here tonight doubting, if there's one here tonight that the devil's made an offer to, if there's one here tonight that's thinking about just quitting or leaving their spouse or leaving their church, or leaving their... Help them to realize the devil's trying to trick them and to grab a hold of things that they know to be right. and hold on to the things we've heard. I pray it in Jesus' name. Nail it down tonight, Lord. Help us, God, Lord, to believe the truths of your word. Bless this church. Cause it to grow and prosper for the glory of God. And we'll thank you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, before you go tonight, a couple things right quick. First of all, don't forget, pray for me. I'll be preaching down there tomorrow night. And we've been having a really, really good revival. Smoking has been going with us. And Hannah and Jordan and some of them, they've been.